Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Kelly Kirsch. Sunny and hot, 29 degrees. We wrap up July and start talking hockey just the way we planned it. Not really, but this is so cool. Preseason game, it's been a long time. In fact, 142 days since we last had a Flames game on the radio. That's a while. That is a while. We're getting ready. Now, it is a busy show today. We have to switch things around a little bit. We are preparing, obviously, for the Flames-Oilers preseason game. So Peter Labardius is upstairs working in a studio trying to gather some audio and that sort of thing for our pregame show. So we're going to switch things around a little bit. We'll head down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, now open for limited dine-in service with all safety precautions in place. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Check them out at 6060 Memorial Drive in the Northeast. He's Eric Dehatchek. Eric, thanks for changing things up. We got you on a little early as we move things around. Hard to believe we're actually having a hockey game on the radio today and people getting ready for it. It's been 142 days since the Flames played Vegas way back in March. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, like it just like all of us have been, of course, you know, previewing, this play-in tournament and listening to people and advancing the story as it moves along from the informal workouts to the training camps to, you know, relocating to the hub cities. But there's a part of you that thinks, you know, when will it finally? And so now you're right. Finally, there's, you know, puck drops. We'll get to see, like, you know, we've been watching, you know, baseball in front of empty arenas, soccer in front of empty arenas. I'm interested in seeing what hockey looks like. Yeah. and how people look and what a contact sport will look like in an era of a global pandemic. I mean, those other sports, you know, God bless them, that you know, they don't have the constant physical contact that NHL hockey has. So to me, yeah. I mean, I'm watching, everybody's watching, people care about hockey, even people who don't care about hockey. My sense is that, I hear people who have never given five thoughts to the NHL, you know, noting these updates that you sometimes get on the news channels. I'm looking forward to it. And I think that there's so many interesting possible wrinkles, including the fact that I'm interested in knowing what you're, listenership numbers are going to be. I'm interested to see what kind of television numbers, not just these exhibition games, but once they get the play-in games. Because I'm trying to calculate, if everybody who says that they've missed hockey and have nothing to do or need a distraction are actually telling the truth, the numbers could be off the charts, right?
Yeah, the Blue Jays had some nice numbers on the weekends on the TV side, so that gives you kind of an impression. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting as we get into this this bubble situation, and good on the NHL for doing that. We teased it last week that we'd get into fantasy and drafts, right, and stuff, so we'll do that towards the end. But I do want to ask you, what is happening in the desert? Every time we think that maybe the Coyotes have righted the ship and there's no more goofiness, then they kind of, you know, fall on their face again, and now it's this weird situation with their general manager, John Chajka, who, you know, a young guy that people are excited about. You know, he's got zero playoff wins under his belt, but give me your sense of what's going on there. It started breaking on the weekend, and it's very soap opera like.
Yeah, well, and I think that again, you know, nobody's really saying anything. Although the vitriol that is exchanged in these comments that have been included in the official statement. Well, first of all, like, what a difference. You know, normally, you know, when teams issue statements, they're full of boilerplate language that really says nothing and wishes people well, but they all seem to be written by the same person. They all seem incredibly repetitive, and they don't really seem to convey any real information. So the Coyote statement differed from that quite a bit. John Chajka, quick. John Chajka, like, you know, none of this, you know, wishing him well. And
emotional press statements you don't normally see.
God bless them for that. But, you know, again, we're all trying to piece it together. It sounds as if and again, this is just guesswork because I don't know, that, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, new ownership, new management, you know, they're changing a lot of things in the desert. And maybe they felt that that negotiations had stalled with Taylor Hall, and maybe they felt that they needed to take a more active role in the negotiations, because I think that, you know, they gave up a lot of assets to get him. And I think the fear was that if they don't push real hard, they might lose him. And, you know, if you're a general manager and all of a sudden, you know, somebody else is moving in and taking over these things, maybe you feel that infringes on your line of duties. So, but I don't know, you know, like, I don't know if that's the case. You know, there's been lots of rumors about, you know, like John Chaika wanting to move closer to home. You know, the Buffalo Sabres have a new general manager in Kevin Adams, but, you know, if they need somebody else in that organization, I mean, he's just from down the road there across the border in wine country there in Ontario. So, you know, maybe that's where he ends up landing. I don't know. Lots of talk about, you know, eventually when they hire an experienced general manager in Arizona, which it sounds like they're going to do, that the Peter Chiarelli's name has come up. I know, you know, when new owners take over, they often rely on people in the NHL offices in New York for advice, that they use them as a sounding board. And, you know, someone like Peter Chiarelli, who's, you know, been a, you know, longtime general manager in the National Hockey League, would certainly be somebody that would probably get an endorsement from anyone unofficially at that NHL headquarters. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And then, you know, just in terms of the actual impact on this play-in tournament, because obviously, you know, Arizona has made the playoffs under this 2014 play-in playoff around, you know, will the distraction of this front office mess spill into performance on the ice? And that's the great unknown, because once in a while, you know, when there is drama and turmoil, it helps teams focus inwardly. Do you know what I mean, Kelly? Yeah, like, yeah. You know, like all of a sudden it's,
let's
like, okay, we're
us,
blocking
guys.
All
block that other stuff out.
Yeah. We're all in this together. We're a team. And it has a way in the past of galvanizing. I mean, the last time Arizona went on a deep run was, you know, during the darkest days of NHL ownership and bankruptcy issues and all of these, you know, distractions off the ice that, you know, Dave Tippett was running the show in those days, did an unbelievable job of blocking, and they got to the Western Conference Finals. So it can be done. It sometimes has that rallying effect on a team that you never know, right? And I went through their roster, and it is an interesting roster, because when Darcy Kuemper is healthy and in the lineup, they're a good team. You know, they're a team that can win with that defensive style, win 2-1, 3-2. I think there's going to be an awful lot of pressure on Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel was brought in last year because Arizona was a competitive team without him, but they felt they needed a game breaker, someone that could take those close 1-1 and 2-2 games and make a difference and either get to that goal or set up that goal. He did not have a very good season. And when halfway through the year, when he wasn't having a good season, you know, they pushed all the chips in on Taylor Hall. And while Hall was, you know, a good player for them, he was not, you know, like he didn't play at that NHL MVP level that he played at a couple of years ago with the Devils. So I think both of those players have a lot to prove. And if the Coyotes can get real good defensive play out of everyone else, and if Kessel and Taylor Hall can be better than they were in the regular season, you never know. They could be one of those teams that's lurking. Like, in a lot of ways, you know, every team that's in this play-in round is lurking, and you can make a case for why they might be somebody that you look at as a dark horse team, but their personnel is pretty good. You know, their personnel is pretty good, and it's pretty experienced. You know, it's people like Derek Stepan and Carl Soderberg, like just really good pros that get you those quiet minutes. Chalmerson is healthy again, you know, won some championships in Chicago, steadying influence. They're an intriguing team to me. They're an intriguing team. Apart from all of the, you know, stuff you were asking about the front office thing, just to see if all those pieces can come together, because they're not young anymore. You know, they're not one of these teams that relies heavily on kids that are still learning the ropes. They've got some experienced, you know, certified, you know, NHL players there, and people that have had some playoff success. Like, say what you will about Phil Kessel, but he was an important contributor on a couple of Penguin Stanley Cup runs. You know, made some important plays. Was even sort of peripherally on the MVP in the MVP conversation that early that one year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
That's the Arizona story, and it's not. We have not seen the final chapter yet. There's going to be lots more going on. I'll tell you if it's like owner interference when it comes to players and talking to free agents. I mean, that's going to get around quick to anybody who's thinking about taking that job, because that is, for most GMs and GM candidates, yeah, no thanks. I'm good. I don't want someone in my back pocket telling me how to do my job that has never actually, you know, been around hockey before. That's not going to work. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. We wanted to talk to Eric about drafts and what to do and who to pick and that sort of thing. And I guess there'll be different kind of drafts, right? Because there's people that say, okay, we'll take the qualifying round. And I think there's some drafts that'll just go once the, you know, the 16 teams are picked. So you've been in a million drafts, my friend. And I imagine you were telling us that you and your hockey writer friends got on a Zoom call. Yeah. Take us behind the scenes on that call. I could only imagine with those guys and that knowledge and those egos and that kind of stuff, what was said on that particular call?
Well, okay, so yeah, it was really entertaining, and there was an awful lot of trash talk. And a 3.5-hour Zoom call, by the way, can really tax you, because so it was Scott Burnside, one of my colleagues at The Athletic, is the one that organized it. And he did something really different that I don't actually recommend you do this, because we ended up drafting pretty much every single player in the play-in round. So there was 18 of us that were in the pool, and Scott's idea was everyone has to select one player from every NHL team. So do the math, 18 times 24, I think it was 432 or some ridiculous thing like that. So if you know, whatever team you let slide towards the end, you were getting the 18th player on their roster. Oh, God, did it get thin. You know? And there was a lot of people. These are people that cover hockey for a living and were acknowledging, I don't know who this guy is. You know, like, for example, if I were to tell you I drafted Eric Robinson, would you be able to say Eric Robinson? Oh, yeah, of the blah, blah, blah. Could you identify what team he's on?
Guitar player for the Black Crows.
Yeah, exactly. And currently a young player in the Columbus Blue Jackets organization that looks as if he's going to play on the fourth line in the first game against Toronto. So my Columbus Blue Jacket is Eric Robinson. And I left, I was the last player, I had the last player to be chosen. So I took Montreal, of course, was one team that everybody was ignoring. So I got the 18th player on Montreal's roster, Victor Mete. Victor Mete is playing for me. So, okay. But it was interesting to see how people went about it, because it did follow the traditional pattern that you might expect. First player out of the box was Nikita Kucherov. I think Pasternak was second. I think Ovechkin was third. You know, a goaltender like Andrei Vasilevsky went in the first round. Jordan Binnington, the goaltender, went in the first round. I thought it was interesting that Vlad Tarasenko, who played only 10 NHL games all season, but was trending towards health even before the pause, and of course has been, you know, medically cleared and is going to play for St. Louis, he went in the first round. I had the 12th overall pick. I took Braden Point. I was really happy to get him there. And then it went from there. So it was. I was a little bit surprised at the support that the Winnipeg Jets got. So, for example, there were a lot more Winnipeg players chosen before the first Calgary players were chosen, and then, you know, like five or six went right away, and then there was a gap between then and when the next bunch went. I ended up, by the way, with Eric Gustafson from Calgary as my Calgary player. So I'm hoping that there will be some power play points in my future. So, as you pointed out, Kelly, it just depends on the format of your pool. But the one thing that doesn't change is that, you know, if you can somehow manage to figure out which four teams are playing in the final four, and you load up on the best player of those teams, you win. That's how you do it. You know, so sometimes there's a temptation to try and pick those long shot wild card games. And if you have a strong feeling, then absolutely go for it. But there's a part of me that thinks, you know, last year we had so many upsets, right? You know, the three of the four division champions lost in the first round. You know, everybody's playoff pools were thrown upside down, you know, within 2 weeks. And part of me thinks that's not going to happen this year. And that, you know, like as much as you can, if you can get Boston and Tampa and Vegas and St. Louis, and Colorado. Those would be the five teams that I would be really supportive of. You know, I'm not 100% sure about Washington. Pittsburgh, of course, has to have that play-in round. Crosby hopefully is going to be healthy, but they've got their goaltending thing, the issues to sort out there. Is it going to be Matt Murray? Is it going to be Tristan Jarry? So I just think that sometimes, you know, that wild, you know, throw a dart at the wall approach works. There's a part of me that thinks that it's going to be the teams that had the best regular season records that will be left standing at the end. I could be completely proven wrong because of the unpredictability of this and the unpredictability of playoffs in general. But there's a part of me that thinks that that's what's going to happen. In other words, pick favorites, not upsets. That's what I, you know.
Because I'm sure hearing that a lot where people think that, you know, those qualifying rounds are going to give those teams a bit of an advantage because the round-robin games won't have the same, you know, sort of oomph as the do-or-die best-of-fives. But you still have to play the games, and you still have the players, and if you take the crowd out of the thing and the travel out of the thing, I wonder who, you know, does a veteran team actually come out a little ahead of this because they won't have as much wear and tear, or does the wear and tear happen on the ice and it doesn't matter if they're not traveling?
You know why I think the best teams are going to win, Kelly? Because normally when you get to the players, the best teams have the best players, right? That's why Boston is Boston. That's why Tampa is Tampa. The one thing is that most of those players have put in lots and lots of minutes, and so they've only got 50% of the tank full. And then you get into the second round, and now the tank is down to 25%. And it, you know, by the time you get to the Stanley Cup final, those guys look haggard. They look gaunt because the teams rely on them so much. And it becomes, you know, a game of survivor, really, at that point. And that is the thing that will not be the case. So all those players that were running on fumes towards the end of the regular season because they put in 82 long, hard games and they played all the big minutes, they've had 4 months to get back up to speed. Now, Paul Maurice was saying, we were on the Zoom call with him yesterday, that he believes that, you know, the top players, the guys with the best hands, he said the legs will come first and the hands will come later. He said it will take a little bit of time for those skilled guys to get the hands. But I think because those teams do have essentially a bye into the playoffs, you're right, these three games where they're playing essentially exhibitions to determine seeding, I don't think they'll have the same level of desperation that we'll see in the play-in round. But I think that those guys will be rounding into form, and maybe they will be, you know, half a step behind for the opening game. But it's a best of seven once you get to the round of 16. And I think that, you know, if you're a good team and your best players are rested and healthy, that's the other critical component, rested and healthy, then I think the best teams win. You know, I think the reason for upsets in normal years is because those guys sometimes, you know, use up an awful lot of energy to get first overall in the NHL. And then, you know, they don't have a lot left, or they don't have enough left. Again, it's just a theory. That's all we're doing right now is trying to, you know, espouse theories, and you know, time will and circumstance will tell what's right. But you know, you're asking, you know, what my gut feeling is, that I'm almost thinking it's going to go the other way. You know, where all these people think there'll be tons of upsets and all those teams, the good teams will be out early. I don't think so. I think the good teams with the best players, those really good players, once they, you know, get three or four games under their belt, they'll be humming along, and they'll have lots left in the tank to win one round, two rounds, three rounds.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I've been thinking that a little bit too, because I think everyone's kind of going, oh, it might be Arizona, Florida in the Stanley Cup final, but you still have to win a lot of games, and you have to have a lot go right with you. So you can't really, I think you might see some upsets and some weird games the first game or two in the qualifiers, but then I think you're going to see it kind of just the guys just play and just play the way they normally play, and the best teams will be the best teams. Now, if there's injuries or there's some, you know, they've been great with keeping COVID away, but if it's some weirdness that it creeps in or something like that, then all bets are off. But I'm with you. I was thinking, like, are we going to just see Boston and St. Louis again? Like, you know.
Or Tampa and Vegas. You know,
yeah.
I really do think that that those really good teams, the teams that were, you know, a little. I mean, first of all, I mean, we have real good parity in the National Hockey League right now. So even the very best teams
which in this year were the five that I cited, are only a little bit better than that next block of teams. There's not that much of a gap between, you know, the first couple of teams in each conference and you know, 3-8 probably. But I just think that that they are a little bit better, and all things being equal, all the things you said, you know, like nobody gets COVID, or, you know, you don't get two serious injuries. You know, I mean, Tampa last year, I mean, you know, Hedman wasn't right, and then he got suspended, and everything was just off. So, you know, hopefully this year, you know, they, you know, I think they believe that, you know, if they have everybody healthy and, you know, and you know, motivated to, you know, to put last year's terrible first round behind them, it could be their year. You know, well, like yeah. I said, my first pick was Braden Point, who we all know, and we'll see how he does.
Yeah. Yep, good Calgary boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I was at 12 to get Braden Point. I was, if you saw me on the Zoom call, that was me doing the little tap, tap, tap.
Yeah,
tap,
there we go. Okay, so now on Thursday, we're gonna kind of dig into the Jets because okay. I think we got to figure out what's going on. So we'll put your thinking cap on for the Winnipeg Jets, so Flames fans can know what's going. We'll talk defense, offense, goaltending, coaching, all that kind of stuff, and so we know what we're looking for and up against come Saturday at 8:30. So we'll let you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk Thursday.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Eric. There is Eric Dachuk, one of our NHL insiders, right here on Hockey Central at noon, down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's Kelly Kirsch. We've got Patrick Dumas along with us. He's got the updates for you. And we did the switch. Don't worry, Lou's not. He's here. He's coming up next, and we'll see what he thinks about the exhibition game. Did you say 147 or 142 days?
It was 142 days
since we last had a game like
almost half a year.
My goodness! Wow! How about that? We got one tonight. Pre-game at 6, play-by-play at 8:30. Lubo is next on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On a game day, no less. Flames, Edmonton Oilers, an exhibition game to get ready for the qualifying round of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have extensive coverage all day long. Our pre-game show will start at 6 tonight. And play-by-play with Derek and Lubo goes at 8:30. And yes, it will be back, the one, the only overtime call-in show. So we haven't had one when it's like 30 degrees, so that'll be a first for us. So looking forward to it. We had to switch things around. Let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, the one thing about the game tonight is, you know, I think both teams are going to want to make sure their game's in order heading into the qualifiers on the weekend. So the fact that we've both got one game in order to do that, I think both coaching staffs are going to be focusing on execution. They're going to be focusing on details. Going to try to get some special teams work in. I think, you know, for us, we'll probably tinker around with a few different combinations as things may unfold in the next round. So there's just a lot of things that we want to touch base on with this game. And I think for us, the biggest thing, probably the best way to describe it, is it's going to be a dress rehearsal. So, you know, we want to make sure that everything in our game is there, work ethic, execution, details, all those sorts of things. And that's how we'll treat the game. And then, of course, that's the way that we'll pick it apart in terms of what we feel our preparation level is and readiness is to start.
There we go. Flames head coach Jeff Ward talking about tonight up in Edmonton. Peter Loubardias joins us. 142 days is a long time.
It is.
It is a while. So what are you expecting from the lineup? And it's not – obviously nobody cares what the score is. To a certain extent, you want to see the effort, that kind of stuff. What are you watching for their one and only dress rehearsal when the bullets start flying for real on Saturday night?
I'm looking for execution and how this team is going to play defensively. Kelly, when I look back at what happened last year against the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs, the Flames gave up an average of 41 shots a game. And at this current scenario, it's going to be hard for teams to get their game in order. So those are the things. As much as we're going to, even on this hit, focus on some of their big guns, I think the teams that can get to their structure, how they defend and have their team game in order, is what the coaches and the brass will be looking for. Some people have questioned whether intensity will be a problem. I don't think intensity will be a problem, but I do think it might take a while to get playoff type execution. In fact, I think the play-in round might be some of the most just exciting hockey we've seen for a while, because I think there will be more mistakes, and I don't think teams' team game will be in as good an order as it normally would be, obviously, in a regular playoff.
How can it be, really? Like, when you think about it, how can you practice that stuff, you execute it in games, you haven't played in a long time, how can your power play, you know, maybe it can, maybe it's going to feel like just like driving a car or something, but I don't know, at that level, I doubt it.
Goalies, obviously, is a big one. Mm-hmm. We still, Jeff did sign off and that we're going to see both guys play half a game. We don't know yet which guy is going to play which half. Maybe that really doesn't matter. But, Kelly, through the full 2 weeks and the practice, isn't it fair to say that not a whole lot has changed? I mean, they talked a lot about, you know, the open battle of competition, but the way they're basically going to roll out their groups, we're going to see a lot of the same guys. We're going to see Monahan, Lindholm, and Gaudreau. We're going to see Backlund, Mangiapane, and Kachuk. Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah. We're going to see Derek Ryan in the middle of Dubé and Lucic, and then we're going to see a combination. Because remember, tonight, you get to dress an extra forward and an extra defenseman. So I figure on defense, we're going to see Michael Stone as the seven, and you'll see Bennett, Ronaldo, Jankowski, and Reeder. All of them have an opportunity tonight with one exhibition game. So it's a international rules roster for the game tonight. And again, the other thing about this game, Kelly, I love is, and forget about the Battle of Alberta, I just think this is a great dress rehearsal for the team. And here's why. In the Jets, you're going to face elite level forwards. When you think about Scheifele and Connor and Ehlers and
Line A
and go on down the list. Well, guess who you're going to deal with tonight? You're going to deal with arguably the two most dangerous guys on planet Earth. So that's great. As far as when you get special teams work, the Oilers, now again, that was 4 months ago, but they had the number one power play and the number two penalty kill. And Jeff Ward told me, I won't give it all away because you'll hear it on the coach's show coming up, he thinks the Oilers are a much better team now than even the team that he saw during the season, with the additions of Andreas Athanasiou, who came over from Detroit, Tyler Ennis, who I think is going to be a very sneaky, good veteran player for the Oilers.
Yeah, it's going to be something. When you talk about the Flames and you talk about the playoffs and you talk about, okay, let's get into the playoffs through this qualifying round and let's win a round, Flames fans always seem to come around to the conversation about Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. We've seen the candor of these guys. They're saying the right things. Talk's kind of cheap, obviously. They really have to prove that they are not just good regular season players. They are, you know, they are guys that can go to the mat and get it done in the playoffs and not get frustrated. And that starts tonight for them in a lot of ways.
I think it does too. And there's no one probably that I'll be watching closer, Kelly, than Johnny Gaudreau. It has been a very, very difficult time for him the last year and a half. I'm not sure that I think anybody has benefited more from 4 months back with his family. He just needed to feel better about himself. And what I observed in the 2 weeks in camp is I saw a much lighter Johnny Gaudreau. And when I mean lighter, what was weighing on his shoulders, because I think he put a ton of pressure. I think he was very frustrated. He just didn't look, Kelly, a lot of the last year like he was having fun playing the game. Here's an interesting note on Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau in 20 playoff games has 12 points. He has 3 assists and is -8 in his last 9 playoff games. Mm-hmm. So his best playoff work came in his first go-round in 2015 when the team beat Vancouver and then lost to Anaheim. It's been really, really difficult, not just for him. I'm not laying it all on him. But this team, for me, with its core group, they need to take some of their best people need to take a step. And it's not going to be easy, whether it's tonight or against the Winnipeg Jets. But at a certain point in time in your evaluation process, and, you know, we had a great conversation, I think, on one of our first hits back about whether this is a time to assess or whether it isn't. I still think this is a real important chapter for some of those players because this is their fourth playoff now when you talk about Gaudreau and Monahan. And at a certain point in time, if your team is going to ascend to higher heights, don't you have to win some battles against other people's best people?
I was thinking about this whole playoff thing and these two guys, and there's been a lot of great regular season players in the NHL that put up incredible numbers, did really, really well, and then just did not have it for whatever reason. You can talk about style of play, and maybe the 90s was different and the 2000s were different, but there's been some guys that do the exact opposite of that. They're okay during the regular season. They do their thing, and then bang, they know how to flip the switch, and mm-hmm. they do it. And I don't know if it's character. I don't know if it's just the will or what it is. And I think people study that kind of stuff all the time. But you just wonder about Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. Is it in them, in their DNA? Do they, you know, everybody wants to win. Not everyone's prepared to win. But you always talk about how you got really hate to lose and you got to just be in there. This is key. I don't think it's the last chapter, no matter what. But your thoughts on these guys and what their makeup is and do they have what it takes to be playoff like dominating players?
Well, I'll start with Sean. I saw a great progression in Sean's overall game despite his numbers, Kelly. I really did. I think he was more physical. He won more faceoffs. I think he was a way more responsible player this season. I thought he was better in harder minutes against other people's top people. But in many ways, the way I look at that line is Elias Lindholm is the heavy lifter.
Okay.
Sean is the stable guy in the middle, and Johnny, in many ways, at least offensively, has to drive it. But that line gets in more trouble, Kelly, not necessarily because of what they do with the puck. It can be way more at times the amount of time they spend defending. And the more time you spend without it, the less time you have with it. So Sean, I think, has made really good strides in that area. And even earlier in the camp, he said a lot of the same things I've heard him say before, because the one thing you can never say about Sean owns it. When it doesn't go well, he comes out and owns it. But then the next step is, can you do different? And those two guys have been tied at the hip. You know why? They need one another. Johnny needs Sean, and Sean needs Johnny in a lot of ways with an incredible, complete forward in Lindholm with them, who I think, in his own way, is the most key guy up front of the whole team.
Okay.
Johnny Gaudreau, right now, the last time I watched him in this kind of a scenario, coming off a summer, was the 2016 World Cup. This is a big time for Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
I put him, Kelly, frankly, others might see it differently. I see him in a different category than I see Sean Monahan. I really do.
Okay. This is interesting stuff. And I'm still sticking with it. I don't think if the Flames go out against Winnipeg, I still don't think it's kind of like make massive changes. I bet you know, I'm alone on that island.
No, I don't think you're alone. I don't think you're alone at all.
Really?
I'm not even in the market to make massive change because I don't think this organization requires massive change. But I think what it might require is potentially one or two big changes. I like this team, Kelly. I like the job that this general manager has done in terms of building his core. I love this team's what I call 25, 26 and under talent. And I like a lot of people that are coming. I see some really good things. But this team has to show everybody when it's difficult, they can get over. And at a certain point in time, when do you determine who are the players you can win with and that you can't? Mm-hmm. And those are the hardest questions for any boss, any manager to make. But Jeff Ward said right off the top of the camp, quote, "When we look back to last year, we did not see an issue of skill. We saw an issue of will." But he also said on Saturday that he has noticed a sincere difference in mindset. He feels like he has a team that is carrying a bit of a chip on its shoulder to fix it.
Yeah.
That's it for me. It's you can go down all the breakdowns and all the matchups and everything you want. How bad do you want to do different as each individual and as a group? And there's a reason Jeff talks a lot over the last year about, does this team have the ability to challenge one another, to ask hard questions of one another to do better? I truly, Kelly, you'll never convince me that that is not at the top of the list in terms of analyzing and assessing this group.
And while we're at it, if you're talking about the Winnipeg Jets, they were really bad on their elimination game against St. Louis. They just didn't have it. And before that, they lose to Las Vegas. And they were a team that was kind of built, you know, that was their window or whatever. They've had some changes, but here they are in the playoffs. They have to prove things too, right? They've been, you know, they've been the Jets for a while, and they haven't had a lot of playoff success either.
No, they haven't. I mean, they had their great run a couple years ago when they lost to Vegas in the Western Conference Final.
Yep.
So they had a great run. They weren't able to back it up last spring. But I don't assess the Jets the same way, Kelly, just because in an odd way, the Jets were almost built. They developed and drafted so well and had so many of their key guys emerge all at once that you know what it's like. You can't pay all of them. So they almost ran into, we did so well that now we had all these guys looking for a big payday at the same time. So for Winnipeg, I love their forward group by and large. I love their forward group. Line A will continue to see if he's ready to take another step. And he kind of, to me, a lot like Sean Monahan, maybe the numbers weren't there, but I saw a more complete guy this year, even though the numbers were down. And being a complete player never matters more than it does right now. But because of the Jets' defensive situation, I think their defensive core needs to catch up to the forwards. So that's why I kind of assess them a little bit different than I do maybe with Calgary.
We'll dig a little bit more into the Jets as we get closer. First, the game tonight. So just a bit of review. It'll be 8:30 start. And so we'll have our pregame show starting at 6. And it's been like a long time since we've done Flames hockey. So, and we're doing it a little differently. So that's,
yes, we are.
That's going to be interesting. You know, the Oilers have maybe, do they have a kind of a goaltending question as well? Or what are you hearing up there in terms of who they're going with when they take on the Hawks?
I think there's some real similarities between the two teams and having two guys who they're probably relatively comfortable with. But the way Mike Smith has played in his career in the playoffs, which, by the way, Mike Smith's playoff numbers are pretty good. His save percentage in the playoffs is .938.
Yeah.
Even though his record is 11-12. I mean, was there a better Calgary Flame last spring than him? No. And with what he's done and Dave Tippett's knowledge of Mike Smith and, just like last spring, who Mike Smith is, Kelly, I don't see it being not Mike Smith.
Yeah, it's his net to lose.
It's his net to lose.
Yeah.
Now, is that how short is that leash? That's a different story. And maybe, you know, when you're not on the ground and it's been really hard to have a a great feel of what other teams are doing in comparison to when it's more normal. But I would be surprised unless Mike tonight just has an absolutely red rotten night, or if he's really struggled in their camp. And from the people I've talked to, that hasn't been the case.
And just to put this to bed, we're not going to see any Tkachuk, Cassian stuff. No one's going to waste their time doing that, you wouldn't think?
You can't do it. Now, who knows? Who knows when push comes
to shove?
Sometimes
you get me in the corner and it's like,
right. I mean, listen, this is, and I use this line a lot, tonight, intelligence really has to win over emotion. But you have to play hard. And guess what? When you play hard, there's going to be intensity. And there's certain things there that I hope it never goes away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took about 25 years to get there. But no, Kelly, there's too much on the line for both these teams. Come Saturday, nobody on those two groups needs to get into something that they're going to pay for, have somebody unavailable. Because you took a cheap shot or got suspended, yeah, or you just thing, you, or you can't go down that road.
Okay, all right, we've got it for you. Coverage all day, pregame at 6, play-by-play at 8:30. Flames and Oilers, the exhibition game. You can stream it on sportsnet.ca/960. You can use the Radio Player Canada app. You can use the Sportsnet app. You can tell your smart speaker to play Sportsnet 960, just loads of options. You can also use your radio, too. That works as well.
Does that still work?
Yeah, it still does.
It does in my car.
It does. It works in 29-degree heat, too, so that's how that's going to work. Lou, we'll let you get ready for the game, and we'll hear you come, I guess, 6 o'clock or so.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's game day. Thank you.
All right, there's Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
It is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, making way for Pinder and Steinberg. No Pinder just yet, but he is coming back. I talked to him today. He is back on the radio tomorrow morning. That means we have Peter Klein filling in. 1 o'clock, we get going. Hey, playoff hockey is back. Have you heard? Coming up Saturday, looking forward to it. So you are getting close to the deadline to get in on our little crazy hockey pool that we got going on. Our good friends at Iconic Electric and Controls putting this together, and it's going to be fun. Each round, we got a gift card from Backyard Meats, and then the big prize. It's coming up at the end of round 4. If you win all this, you get a $300 gift card from Backyard Meats and a smoker from Paradise Bay. It's all brought to you by Iconic Electric and Controls, promoting a culture of quality since 2008 and proudly owned and operated from Western Canada. Visit iconicec.ca. So get in there. And it's like the old school sort of pool where there's like, there's different categories and you just pick from a pool of players, and then away you go. You just follow along. So you just go to sportsnet.ca/960. Go to events. It's either events or contests. It might be under both. I haven't checked today. And you want to just get all the info, like password info, and then away you go. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to play along as well. All right. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up Hockey Central and tee up what PK's got for hour one of Pinder and Steinberg right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh my goodness, not the best back timing from Boss here today. No, it's the new guy. It's Duma. Patrick, that's
it's
your fault.
It's a fun day.
That's
it's
your
okay.
fault.
Okay, we can talk more.
That's your fault. What's happening after 1 o'clock?
I think we got Darren Haynes coming up.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Some Flames Oilers talk.
Talk to him about his referee days at our beer league game.
Yes.
That seems like it was 6 years ago.
Oh my
now
God,
it does, yeah. Anyway. What's going on with the Marlins? They're just kind of, thanks for the 2 games, and now we're just going to hang out?
You know, if they wanted to do like what they did with Toronto, like force the Rays and Marlins in a bubble or like their own little town to play in that wasn't Florida, I think we'd be okay.
Yeah, that is something else. So they got a bunch of guys testing positive, and, you know, so they've just said, we're just going to not play for a while and see if we can get guys better. That is not... I know they expected some positives, but boy, that kind of blew up in their face right away. So
I think they got the Yankees and Orioles as a makeup for Baltimore missing games.
So yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. That is something else. Hockey tonight on Sportsnet 960. The Fan will have a super long pregame show at 6 o'clock just because we just need to. And play-by-play at 8:30. And, boy, we're doing it a little differently. We're doing it in social distancing and all that kind of stuff. So interesting stuff in the emails I'm getting, Patrick, about this. They're using words I have no idea what it's about. Like, just like super technical words. It's like, all I want to know is, are we good? And I think we are, but wow. There are some people showing off with their technical knowledge, so good for them.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh, my God. Okay. And just make sure you get in that playoff pool. It's going to be fun. Some goofy categories that the guys from Iconic came up with. Pretty fun. Very Calgary. A few digs at Pinder and Steinberg and a few other things as well. So that's coming up. So just go to our website and get the password and everything, and away we go. All right. I should get out of here. I've got a meeting in like 4 seconds, so I'll do that. Klein's ready to go. Steinberg's ready to go. So let's do this on a game day at Sportsnet 960 The Fan.